Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're excited about this program because, you know, so many times, you know, we think that we don't have what we need or we don't have what we want. And so many times I think we get disappointed. Well, we're going to be talking about this program. How blessed are we? So many people today are adding their miseries on a counting machine, but they're, counting God's blessings on their hands. And it should be the other way around. Because right now in nations like Venezuela, nations like in the Philippines, people today are not worrying about where they're going on vacation, if they can buy bigger homes, what kind of car they're going to drive. But what they're thinking about is, what are they going to eat? Right now, in the times that we're living in, they're worried about what they're going to eat. The sky prices, skyrocketing prices of food is so high that it's literally four times the annual Venezuelan person's income, their salary in Venezuela. It's four times their annual salary just to be able to buy groceries. We want to take you straight right now to Venezuela to get an update, because this is a nation that's been teetering. It's a nation that's about to fall like a dominoes. It has a socialist leader by the name of Nicolas Maduro, who took over from Hugo Chavez. And the people are outraged. They're marching in the streets, and they're demanding more of the socialistic government, but there isn't any more to give them. Watch this.
As violent anti-government protests in Venezuela rage on, a dire situation is getting worse. In the latest clashes, demonstrators have faced down armored vehicles, been bombarded from the air with tear gas, even jumped into a river to escape the calamity. Both opponents and supporters of the government have taken to the streets in an increasingly bitter stalemate that has divided the country, even families. On Wednesday, Ibrahim Saab released a video calling on his father, a top government official charged with investigating human rights abuses, to take action.
Papa, en este momento...
Dad, at this moment, you have the power to put an end to this injustice that has sunk this country, he says. I ask you as a son and in Venezuela's name, which you serve, to reflect and do what you're supposed to do. Long riven by social divisions, Venezuela has come undone as the country's economy has slipped into a death spiral. Food and medicine are scarce. Lines to buy basic items stretch for blocks, and inflation is among the highest in the world. Despite sitting on top of the world's richest oil reserves, Venezuela is now broke. The opposition blames the government's socialist policies begun years ago by then-President Hugo Chavez and massive official corruption and mismanagement. Chavez's successor, Nicolas Maduro, says his country is the victim of an international conspiracy and has rejected opposition calls for a new election. The government may be trying to buy time in the hopes that oil prices will rise.
If oil were to surge to $60 or $80 a barrel, it certainly would give them some more breathing room, and that's what they're hoping. They're hoping that, you know, if oil can go up, they can, you know, defeat these protests, they can go to elections and perhaps, you know, rig the playing field or rig, the campaign enough that they can actually stay in power.
Venezuela's embattled president doesn't appear too concerned about the turmoil as he throws around a baseball.
Venezuela y paz.
Peace will continue, he says. To those violent groups, the law will find them. It has already arrived for many of them. And by way of the law, there will be peace.
Wouldn't it be, you know, and a shocking thing to spend all of your life thinking that you didn't have enough, wishing that you had more, and living with the sense that you were deprived when all along you were wealthy, you were rich, you were living in abundance compared to 95-96% of the world's population. And we're really talking about this concept of being blessed. You know, everybody wants to be more blessed. Mm-hmm. We want to have maybe more things or bigger things. But what if you were already blessed? You know, if you're a Christian, you're a believer, you're a person that lives in the United States, we're blessed. We're like filthy rich.
Abundantly.
They say that the poorest Americans, Steve, is it lives in more square footage than the average European. Mm. The average European, not the person in Africa or Philippines or Haiti, but they live in more square footage than the average European. We have so much space, so much things. You know, we even have storage facilities, climate-controlled storage facilities for our stuff that we don't even want to store in our garages anymore.
Yeah.
And so we have to start taking a deeper look as we look at the nations like Venezuela, as we look at nations like the Philippines, mm-hmm. and what's happening right now to the people there. I know that we have this article from CNN Money, and it talks about how people are losing weight, like 19 pounds in a year just from not eating, and how food is scarce. And the food that is available, it's astronomically expensive. And so people are, you know, they don't know what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. They're skipping meals. They don't know what they're going to feed their children. And it's really becoming a problem because this socialist country is really on the verge of tipping, and it has been for quite some time. But begin to start sharing with us and reading this article, because we're going to break this down and try to, you know, unpack this.
This is from CNN Money, and it talks about a lady named Mariana Mejias, and she can't afford to buy a bag of rice in Venezuela. And their money is called the Bolivares. She lives in
Medellin. You said that so nice. Can you
say
that again? Wow.
I did a lot of practicing.
One more time.
Bolivares.
Oh,
did I say that? There you
go. Man, like a pro.
There you go. She lives in Medellin, an extremely poor neighborhood in the country's capital, Caracas, which suffers from severe food and medical shortages like the rest of the country. If the government doesn't provide a subsidized monthly bag of food, Mejias would go hungry.
So this article is basically saying that if the government does not take care of this woman and give her rice, she will starve. And understand that socialism is a form of government that really, you know, essentially says
we'll
the
take
government,
care of
we're going to take care of everything for you.
Yeah.
We had a person in the Senate who ran for president, who was a self-proclaimed socialist, and he was getting thousands of votes.
Because it sounded good, but people lost the perspective of, okay, what does that look like to get everything?
Tons of people coming to his events, and he's promising free college, and everyone gets, you know, here's a clue. If it's free, that means it's probably not going to be worth anything once you get it, because if you can get it for nothing, that means anybody else can get it for nothing. And so the value and the importance doesn't carry the weight because it's free.
Yeah.
And it's really not free because somebody else is paying for that. You know,
always.
Nothing is free.
Nothing is free.
So here she's dependent on the government.
Yeah. And it continues to say, skyrocketing prices have made food at her local market prohibitive. The monthly food bag worth 10 Bolivares, which is equivalent to
10,000, right?
I'm sorry, 10,000 Bolivares, which is equivalent to $2.25 in American dollars. It includes rice, milk, pasta, beans, and a few other items.
Mm.
Now, a bag of rice at Mejia's local store goes for 8,000 Bolivares, out of reach of her monthly income of $219,000.
And before you think, that's a whole lot of money. 219,000 Bolivares.
Yeah.
It's equivalent to $49. Think about this.
Wow.
That's her monthly income, 49 U.S. American dollars.
Wow.
And she continues to say, things here are horrible. I don't know how people are even surviving. She's 62 years old. She's a house cleaner who earns minimum wage plus a government pension. And she says Venezuela's socialist government is led by the president, Nicolas Maduro, who took over for Hugo Chavez. He raised the minimum wage, Steve, 60% on Sunday, 60%. And, you know, including food stamps, it's still not enough.
Right.
And so here these people are, you know, because you hear these same type of policies, you hear this same type of speech, you know, where government is everything, and we need the government to defend us, we need the government to represent us, we need the government to do for us. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Why are we leaning on the government?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a proponent and say, why don't we lean on God? You know, all good things come from the Father up above, right? And we need to turn people to God, not to government, not to a system where they become handicapped and dependent. If we're going to be dependent upon anyone, Shouldn't it be the Lord?
Yeah. And I think about it, too, as you're talking about it, if we walk into an environment where someone is saying, I'll provide everything for you, I'll provide everything for you, it causes a culture of just outright laziness. It's just like, well, I don't have to do it because somebody else is going to do it for me. But when you think about it, Proverbs talks about the fact of just the gift of hard work. And when you think about that, your rest is sweet when you're able, after you work hard, it's like, in our culture, and even as how men are identified, when you look at in the book of Genesis, it talks about Adam, when it's just like he was going to have to work. Yeah. And it's just like we have that ability to work, and don't take that for granted. It's just like that's a gift to be able to have a job and ability to work hard.
To work hard, to provide, to have fruit from your labor.
Yes.
And that your life, you know, you're called to bear fruit, not just spiritual fruit, but you got to produce something out of your life.
Yeah.
You're either you know, sucking things dry, or you're supplementing, you're producing, you're adding. And in this life, they're givers and they're takers, but you got to determine which one you're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And what the socialist type of government does, it provides an environment where people become takers. But that's not bad in some cases until things start running out. I think it was Margaret Thatcher said that socialism works until you run out of other people's money. And so they're running out of resources. The oil is not trading as high as it used to be, although they're the most oil-rich nation, Steve, in the world.
Yeah.
You can have all the abundance, but if it's not selling, you're not getting any resources.
Yes.
And it's really sad. I think the article, you want to pick up where...
Sure. It continues and says, in March, a basket of basic grocery items. Now, when I say basket of basic grocery items, in America, we think cart, like the one that you push that you has the topper and the lower later. We're talking about the basket, the little one that has the handles that you can fit maybe four or five loaves of bread inside. That's the type of basket of basic groceries we're talking about here, which includes eggs, milk, and fruit. Costs 772,000 bolivares, or close to four times the monthly minimum wage, which is equivalent to $200.
Oh, wait a second. You're saying that just a simple basket of food, and you're probably watching, you know, seeing an image right now on TV, where just some eggs, some fruit, this is almost $200?
Yeah.
$200. This is four times their monthly income. Think about that. Just on food. So if you're, let's say, just for simple, you know, purposes, your income is $2,000 a year, $2,000 a month. That means if you were to go to the grocery store, you would be paying $8,000 for some eggs, milk. I mean, this is crazy.
Yeah.
This is so expensive. Even though they keep increasing the minimum wage, it doesn't matter. They keep printing money.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter. That the value of your dollar becomes less and less and less. In fact, they say that a bolivaris is equivalent to less than a U.S. penny.
Wow. Wow. So the article continues to say that according to the Venezuela-based Center of Social Analysis and Documentation, or CENAS, food shortages and soaring prices have led to troubling results. Last year, the average Venezuelan living in extreme poverty, which you were saying earlier, lost 19 pounds due to lack of food. Many of its citizens had to skip meals, just according to a national poll. And the food crisis is worsening as Venezuela dives deeper into chaos. On Monday, Maduro issued a decree that may allow his party to rewrite the country's constitution more to its liking. On Tuesday, Maduro suspended Venezuelans' rights to carry firearms as weeks of anti-government protests stretch into the spring.
This is we're not going to keep going through this complete, you know, article, but what you're seeing here is a nation in a free fall. If you can't take care of basic, you know, your basic needs, right? Food, water, shelter, you know, defense. If you can't eat, you can't survive. And there's a lot of things that keep a lot of people awake, you know, at night, not able to sleep. There's a lot of people that have things that are on their mind that doesn't cause them to function. But there's nothing like not having food in your stomach that could cause you not to do anything. I remember hearing a report of someone in Haiti where we knew folks that were being fed and children being taken care of. And I heard one of the reports that there was one of the young people, one of the children said that they spend, you know, most of the day when they're not being fed trying to get food. So either, you know, eating food or looking for the next way you're going to eat. And that's what consumes your everyday lifestyle. Listen, this is not right. you know, this is not right. When we say in America that we don't have food or we don't have the things that we like, we're normally saying we don't have the cookies, the donuts, we didn't go to fast food, we didn't get something special, but we rarely say that we didn't eat anything. Now, we know that there are some and that we have people in our country that do genuinely don't have food. We understand that. We understand that. And that there is need. And I want to encourage you to do all that you can to help those who are in need. But if you think that what happened there in Venezuela is bad, believe me, it gets worse in different parts of the country. And we're talking about what's happening in Venezuela, what's happening in the Philippines. In terms of food, you know, we are blessed here in America, and we have so many choices and so many options, but it's so easy for us to lose perspective. And I think that's what we're trying to get at here today, that we need a really biblical perspective of gratitude and a really a biblical perspective in terms of how truly blessed we are and why we have been blessed. Yeah. You know, so many times, Steve, people get lost in the blessing, and they forget that you're blessed to be a blessing. Mm-hmm. We're not blessed so that we can acquire more things and stuff, but we're blessed so that we can find other people that are not as fortunate as we are, and so that we can share with them, mm-hmm. because we have compassion, we have empathy, and we want to demonstrate the love of God. Well, if you thought that what you saw in Venezuela was pretty tough, and it is, I remember one man saying that when I used to feed my dog for food, I now eat myself. And it's pretty tough. But in the Philippines, in the outskirts of Manila, there are people that can't even afford to buy food. So what they're having to do two, maybe three times out of the week is buy what they have called pug-pug. And it's essentially a Tagalog word for to dust off, to shake it off. And it also means other people's leftovers. Mm. So you have people that are digging through garbage, through dumps, not to, you know, get some used part for their house or for their car, but for something to eat. And not only do they eat it, but they actually sell it to other people as an item, you know, for food. So I want you to watch this, and we get back, we're going to unpack this and talk about this more. Watch this.
Meal of the day. Tondo, Manila. I sell pug-pug for a living. I earn about $1.50 a day. As long as there is some meat left and is barely touched, that's pug-pug. We sort the recyclables such as plastic bags, water bottles, cups, and paper. Pug-pug is leftover food from restaurants. We throw the leftovers away if it's really gone bad, or if it's just all bones. If the leftovers have meat left, we keep them to sell. You can tell it's gone bad by the smell, or sometimes we taste it. Eating pug-pug saves us money. Because we don't have, to buy food. Pug-pug is our meal. A lot of the residents come here to buy pug-pug. I've been selling pug-pug since I first came to Tondo. Selling pug-pug is how I support my family. At first, I used to sell fruits. Then my neighbors told me to sell pug-pug instead, because a lot of people would buy it. I was a bit worried because I know that pug-pug is not safe to eat. They convinced me that as long as I wash it well, and if I recook it, then it would be all right. That's how I started selling pug-pug. Pug-pug sells well compared to other goods. Fruits would go bad if it is not sold right away. But with pug-pug, it sells out quickly. That too will sell out soon. Pug-pug is delivered here as early as 4 a.m. I separate the bones from leftovers from the beans. I then pack pug-pug. There's 30 pounds, 40 pounds, and 50 pounds, depending on how much meat the pug-pug has. I usually give out discounts to my neighbors, and sometimes they ask me to lower the price. It's because most of them don't have money. It's difficult to earn money these days. If it's a good day, I would earn about 200, sometimes 150. Once everything sells out, I go to the market and buy food such as rice and water. We get by because of pug-pug. That's why I would keep on selling pug-pug. My only dream is that I can fix my shop and earn more money so I can have a stable income. That way my family won't go hungry. If you know how to cook pug-pug properly, you won't get ill. People get ill after eating pug-pug because they don't wash it well and they don't know how to cook it properly. You need to boil pug-pug first before you recook it, because pug-pug is another person's leftovers. It's been through other people's mouths. The leftovers have been mixed with other food, wastes, and rubbish. When you buy pug-pug, you have to make sure that you'll cook it well. You have to have all the right ingredients. You can add pepper, sugar, and a bit of vinegar or ketchup. You can also add tomato sauce and then saute it. We sometimes eat pug-pug because we're poor. I cook pug-pug once or twice a week.
This is horrific. You know, when you look at that, you say, wow, I had no idea that people today in this world have to go through that just to eat. Something that most of us take for granted, that we can just open up our refrigerator or go into the pantry or go to the store or decide we don't feel like, you know, cooking in today and go to a restaurant.
Let's just go out to eat.
Yeah. And you think about it and you say, man, wow, this is heartbreaking. And it really is. Because what we need to realize is that, you know, Luke 12:48 tells us, can you read that scripture?
Sure. It says, when someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required.
We've been entrusted with so much. You think about it, the United States has, what, you know, 95%? Of the Earth's wealth, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's only 5% of the world's population. And so many billionaires, so many millionaires, you know, are right here in America. And we can't no longer, you know, as believers, not just Americans, but as believers, we can't hoard things. We can't be ungrateful. And the Bible's really, you know, clear about how, you know, godliness with contentment is great gain. When we think about, Steve, you and I talked about this, about supermarkets And you go to a supermarket in America today, there are so many choices. You were telling me something about shopping the perimeter. Yeah. Tell us about shopping the perimeter.
I guess you could say it's a diet. I don't really know the best way to put the words on it. But the outside of the supermarket is basically the fresh food, the meats, the vegetables, the produce. But everything on the inside is basically what's been basically created. It's in a box. It's basically produced. Not produced as in like produce, but produce as in like
production.
It's man-made. And it's amazing because, you know, as you talk about that, of all the different aisles, when you go in a grocery store, there's so many aisles. You have to look at the sign to tell you what's in that aisle. And if you're looking for something and it's just like, hold on a second, I got to read this sign. No, that's not the type of food I want.
So many choices, so many different brands. I remember one time being in the supermarket, and in the supermarket they had a pharmacy. And I'm looking for one particular, you know, medicine. And there were so many different brands for the same medicine. In Venezuela, they're saying that if you're going to have a medical procedure, you need to bring your own medicines because they may not have any for you.
Wow.
When they can't even afford to buy food, you can rest assured they don't have the money
to
bring their own medicines
right.
to a hospital. And we're talking about being blessed. We're talking about getting a deeper perspective to what is happening really around the world and why people today in this country where we're talking about internet, we're talking about technology, we're talking about a global brain. If you've been watching our programs, where this technology is you know, growing exponentially, within a year or two, we're going to have driverless cars on the road. Yet and still, we have people that are buying secondhand food and throwing a few pieces of diced onions and some vinegar and ketchup and recooking it and repurpose food. Today's a big deal about repurposing furniture, but people are repurposing food to eat. And we need to walk away with a perspective that says, Lord, I'm not going to complain anymore.
Right.
But I'm going to be grateful. And I think that's a place where we need to be at. Yeah. You know, would you share that scripture with us? Because we really need to get this in our spirit.
The thing about Psalms 100 says, you enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. You know, as I read that, I think about those that are eating pug in the Philippines right now. They're grateful because they're having food and they're able to eat. And it's just like, how dangerous of a reality are we in if we're surrounded with the lush blessings and so many of the resources in America and we're ungrateful? And it's just like, it totally changes what we were talking about earlier. It totally changes our perspective of where we are when we begin to recognize how blessed we are and begin to list, God, I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for that. God, I'm grateful for how you provided for this. And just begin to just look at everything that God has blessed you with, and it totally changes everything.
You have to begin to start living a life of gratefulness.
Yeah.
I mean, that really is at the core. Many people think that, you know, to get into the Lord's presence, we just need to pray, right? But Psalms 100 tells us, quite simply, enter his gates, enter his presence with what? Thanksgiving. And his courts with praise. When we begin to start expressing gratitude and gratefulness, we're really being ushered into the presence of the Lord. We're really coming into a place where we can acknowledge God for his goodness, for his faithfulness, for his kindness.
And because it's also that we're recognizing that it's not us that's doing it. It's God that's provided all these things. It's God that's doing it.
God is the one that's richly blessing us.
Yeah.
And this is what starts to happen here, is that complaining thing starts going away. Mm-hmm. You start realizing that, you know what, God's been so good, not only to me, but he's been good to my family, he's been good to my children, he's been good to all these, you know, people that I know. Man, he's a good guy.
Wow. He's a good, you know? Good father.
He's a good, good father.
Yeah.
And we stop complaining, we start realizing, wait a minute, you know what? I'm going to be held accountable one day for all the stuff that's been, you know, going through my hands and through my fingers, and I need to do something with it. You know, I need to do something with it. Don't you think it's important?
Absolutely. You know, and even as we look at that, like you were saying in regards to the perspective of groceries, talk about the family that you encountered when they came to America, all the things that they saw, the one thing that they took back to their country.
Oh, yes. When I was living in New Jersey at the time, I had a neighbor whose mother-in-law was Cuban. And shout out to Vito. And he tells me, yeah, my mother-in-law, she's going back to Cuba. And cause I asked him, how was your stay? Did she enjoy herself? And he says, oh, she had an amazing time. And he says that she's taking back souvenirs. I go, oh, that's nice. You know, what's she taking back? He says, you're not going to believe this. He says, well, you know, try me. He says she's taking back a stack of the flyers, the food flyers, so that she can show all of her friends all the delicious types of foods.
Like the food advertisements.
That we have, right.
What's
the food
on sale, what you can buy.
Yes.
As a souvenir.
That's her souvenir that she wants to show everyone there, you know, back in Cuba. And we take so much for granted.
Wow.
And so we got to come to a place where we say, listen, Lord, not only do I want to be grateful, not only do I want to be content, but I didn't know that all this was happening. What can I do?
Yeah.
Listen, this is what we, you know, VFNKB, you know, we want to be able to have impact in society. And you look at the business mountain. I was talking to a businessman the other day, and he's talking to me about all these different companies that he's putting together, and it's all about creating wealth. And he's having all these different investors. And he's a believer. And we got to talking about how in the business mountain, you know, how much money is actually enough? You know, what do you want to keep earning resources for? And we got into the discussion about its importance for these resources. We're blessed to be a blessing.
To flow through you.
Yes, and the wealth is to bless people.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's businesses, there's people that are gifted and talented to earn resources. Mm-hmm. Listen, maybe God didn't want you to have all of it. Maybe the reason he got it to you is because he wants to get it through you.
Yeah.
And so there's several ways how you can participate and you can be involved, because when you see this suffering of this kind, you go, what can I do?
Yeah. And when I hear you asking that question, it's like what we were saying earlier, it's just like we can't lean on ourselves. We've got to lean on God. And we've got to begin our day with gratitude. And we look at with these resources and it's just like, God, what do you want me to do with this? When I hear about that, it's just like, that's abiding. And so many people are finding themselves in a situation where they could be overcome with blessing and not know what to do about it. And it's just like you want to be able to have a relationship with the Lord, to hear his voice, to know his voice, to walk out in obedience what his voice says, to hear his voice through his word. And it begins like what we're talking about. Begin with gratitude. And you can go to iabide.org and get that free plan. We'll send it to you immediately. About how to walk out that relationship. And it's amazing. We're hearing testimony after testimony. We're seeing people literally sign up all over the world.
All over the world.
Literally saying, I want to know the voice of the Lord. I want to know what God wants for me to do in my life in this day. And I want to do it for Jesus Christ. And it's just like, it is that simple. It's because when we see it, we can change the world.
It's powerful. Definitely begin by having an abiding relationship.
Yeah.
But when you have this relationship with God, the best thing, the chief thing that you can do, Steve, is pray.
Yes.
So many of us are so quick to run here, run there, and the first thing to do is pray. Allow God to share his burden with you so that you can pray in intercession and stand in the gap for those that are in need. For instance, those in Venezuela and the Philippines. Yeah. Those people all over the world. You can give. You can give financially, right? You can always release those resources. You can spread awareness like what we're doing on this program now, educating and trying to let other people know about what's really happening around the world. And then, of course, you can get physically involved. Mm-hmm. But I tell you what, you know, one man came to Joel Osteen's father one time and said, listen, what should I do? I got this calling on my life. And John Osteen said, listen, do something lest you do nothing. And that's what we want to encourage you today. Do something lest you do nothing. Listen, we want to close out this program with prayer. Steve, would you close out in prayer?
Yes. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for eyes to see outside of our immediate perspective and being have a perspective of the world. Lord, we ask you, God, that you would just give grace, Lord, to all of those that are going and through this crisis in Venezuela. We ask you, God, that you would just give wisdom on how to walk this out, God. We ask you, Lord, that you would just provide those resources to those families that are just looking for food in the Philippines. And God, help us to begin our day with gratitude, that we would stop complaining about the blessing and start getting the blessings through us, through those that you want us to tell others that you're a good, good father. And Lord God, we ask you, Lord, that you would end abortion, that you would send revival, God, and send a third great awakening, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you, and thank you for watching.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.